Chapter 31. I knew the way home. I saw it, the pathway to detritus, as clearly as I could remember the way to the hidden cavern where I'd found Embot, as clearly as I remembered that day when my father had flown for the last time against the Krell. It was burned into my brain, like an arrow made from light. I knew somehow, not just the direction, but the destination. My home. This weapon, the secret one created to fight the Delvers, was not what I'd assumed it to be.
Weapon test successful, Braid said. If this were a real Delver, I am 100% confident this would have diverted them to the human refuge of Detritus.
I heard, in the background, cheers and congratulations. I heard Winzik telling the other government officials that their anti-Delver system was operational and their pilots perfectly trained. He ended with a simple, stunning conclusion.
If a Delver did ever attack the Superiority, my program ensures that we will be able to send them to destroy the humans instead. We will fight the two greatest threats to the universe by turning them against one another.
The terrible understanding loomed over me. I threw off my helmet and leaped out of my cockpit, crossing the spongy ground toward Braid's ship. When I arrived, I found her lounging on the wing, her helmet off and beside her.
You knew about this? I demanded of her.
Of course I knew, she replied. Winzik's scientist used my mind to develop the weapon. We've always known that there was a connection between Cytonics and the Delvers. We cause them pain, Alanik. They hate us, maybe even fear us. We tried for years to exploit this, and came to the logical conclusion. If we can't destroy Delvers, we can at least divert them.
That's not a good solution. At best, it delays a catastrophe. It doesn't stop one.
It can, if we play this right, Braid said. We don't need to defeat the Delvers. We simply need to control them.
This isn't controlling them, I snapped. A single, barely tested blast that might divert them away?
What happens when they come back? What happens after they destroy your target, then continue to rampage across the galaxy? I was growing so used to the way Dione's and Krell responded to outbursts like this that a part of me was surprised when Braid just smiled, instead of pulling back and chiding me for my aggression.
You act as if Winzik hasn't thought about any of that, she said.
Considering my experiences with him and his military tests, I think I'm allowed to question his foresight.
Don't worry, Alanik, Braid said.
She nodded toward her ship.
Today's test was a way to show off for the officials back on the weights and measures. This isn't the first time we've tested the weapon. We've been planning this for years. We know that we can handle a Delver.
She slipped off her wing, her boots scraping the mossy rock beneath her as she landed. She stepped closer to me.
This training program and all of these pilots are an insurance policy. Their job will be to use diversionary bombs to shuffle a Delver around between locations until the real weapon gets there.
Which is? She pointed at herself. Then she pointed at me.
In joining these flights, you provided us with a gift. Another Cytonic. We have so few. Winzik told me to befriend you, recruit you. So here we are.
Recruit me? This whole time, Braid had been trying to recruit me? Was that why she'd been warming up to me lately? Scud. She was as bad at this as I was. This is insane, Braid, I said. The humans tried to control the Delvers, and look where it got them.
We've learned from their mistakes, Braid said. If you are willing, I can show you things about your powers. Things you never dreamed were possible. We can control the Delvers.
Are you sure? I asked. Are you really sure? She hesitated, and I saw that she wasn't, even though she made a Dione gesture of assurance by raising her hand and tapping two of her fingers together. The chinks in her armor were there.
She wasn't nearly as confident as she pretended.
We should talk about this, I said.
Not be so hasty.
Maybe, Braid said.
Maybe there isn't time, though.
Braid turned back to her ship.
The Superiority is losing its stranglehold on travel. Others are close to figuring out its technology. Something new is needed. Something to keep everyone in line and prevent wars.
The horror of it hit me. The Delvers. You'll have them looming over everyone. A threat.
Obey, play along, or we'll send one to your doorstep. Just think about the offer, Alanik.
Braid put on her helmet.
We're pretty sure we can handle keeping a Delver distracted when it's in our realm. In the past, they'd sometimes spend years between attacks floating in space, doing whatever it is they do. So if our force can be ready when one approaches a populated planet, it should be safe enough, particularly with Cytonics like us as a backup. Winzik can explain it better than I can. He's a genius. Anyway, we should get back.
She slid into her cockpit. I stood in stunned silence for a moment longer, trying to wrap my brain around everything she'd told me. Whatever they said they'd practiced, whatever assurances they thought they had, they were wrong. I'd felt the Delvers. Winzik and his team were like children playing with an armed bomb. But as I walked back to my ship, I had to admit that a small portion of me was tempted. How much did Braid know about my powers? What could she show me? I'd played along with joining the Superiority's military to get access to hyperdrives. Could I play along with this offer to learn what Braid knew? Too far, I thought as I climbed back into my ship. No, I wanted nothing to do with the Delvers. Though it was unrealistic, I never wanted to feel their eyes on me again. I never wanted to feel their thoughts intruding on mine, making everything and everyone seem so insignificant. Whatever Braid and Winzik were up to, I couldn't join it. I had to find a way to stop it. Braid, I said as we got back on the comms. Don't you care at all that they're planning to use this to destroy an entire planet of humans? Your people? She didn't respond immediately. And when she did, I thought I heard a hesitance to her. They deserve it. It's what has to be. Yes, there were obviously cracks in her confidence, but how could I exploit them? The two of us flew out of the maze, then headed to join the rest of our flight. However, we got a call from the weights and measures before we arrived. You too, the official said. Alanika Verdale and the human. Report in early. I felt an immediate surge of panic. Was this more of Winzik trying to recruit me, or was it about my spy drone? In the face of the overwhelming discoveries that Braid had dropped on me, I had almost forgotten about my plan and the little robot that was hiding back on the weights and measures. I looked out into the stars. I didn't need coordinates to try to judge the direction to Detritus. I could feel it out there. The pathway burned into my head. It was fading, like the path to Starsight that Alanik had put in my head, but much more slowly. I felt I'd have this arrow for days at least. She'd been weak, near death. That was why her coordinates had faded so quickly. This was a more powerful impression. I could go. I could jump home right now. I was free. But Embot and Doomslug were back at the embassy. No, I still had a mission here. It wasn't time to leave yet, not quite. Winzik can't have discovered the drone, I told myself, shoving down my earlier anxiety. Why would they call us both back, in that case? Why would they call me back at all? If they suspected me, they'd start shooting, right? I then turned my ship toward the weights and measures, which seemed like a small rock compared to the dominating polyhedral boulder that was the Delver maze. As soon as I drew close enough to the carrier, my wristband buzzed, indicating that I had reestablished communication with the drone. Status? I sent to it, tapping on the bracelet. Have infiltrated engine room, it sent back. Am hovering in a corner, good visibility,
Algorithms determine a very low chance of discovery. Continue or return to meeting point?
Seen anything interesting?
Not capable of answering that question, but my chronometer indicates I arrived after hyperjump occurred. I'd want it to stay in place at least until we hyperjumped back to Starsight. That would give me the best chance of capturing sensitive information.
Remain, I sent.
I landed behind Braid in the fighter bays and handed off my ship to the maintenance crew. I caught up with her as she climbed down from her ship.
Any idea what this is about? I asked. Is it about recruiting me?
Braid gave a non-committal swipe of her fingers, a Dione gesture. We were met by a guide drone, which led us away from the fighter bay, down an unfamiliar, red-carpeted path through the weights and measures. Irrationally, I felt like I was being walked to a cell, right up until the moment when we stepped through a set of double doors and entered a party. Krell and Dione's in official uniforms or robes stood about, sipping fancy drinks. A large screen on the far wall showed shots of training fighters, alternating with slides of text that explained the philosophy behind our training. From the little bits my translator read to me, it looked like the Department of Protective Services was making great efforts to prove how important their project was. Indeed, I noted other pilots from other flights standing throughout the room, speaking with officials. I'd been called in to be used for propaganda purposes, it seemed. Soon, Winzik gestured me over to stand by him, though the drone instructed Braid to wait behind. Winzik was in good spirits, judging by the excited way he waved the arms of his green exoskeleton.
Ah, here she is, the only one of her species on Starsight. And now she serves in my program, proof that it has merit indeed.
The two Krell he was speaking to looked me over.
Ah, one said. Your people once served the humans, did they not? How do you feel at finally being invited to join the superiority?
Honored, I forced myself to say. Scud, did this have to happen today? Now that I wasn't actively fighting, my worry about the spy drone was growing nearly unbearable.
I'm more interested in your human, Winzik, the other Krell said. Has she killed anyone by accident?
My, no. She's very well trained. Let us focus on my project, Your Honors. A reasonable plan for protecting against the Delvers, at long last.
That, a voice said from over my shoulder, and the Superiority's first actively piloted space force in 100 years. One composed entirely of lesser species at that.
I spun and found Kuna there behind me. Even in a room of diplomats and politicians, Kuna stood out, tall, with deep blue skin, shrouded in robes such a dark violet they were nearly black.
It's not completely made up of lesser species, Winzik admitted. We've got one Dione, a draft, strangely.
Still, an incredible undertaking, Kuna said. That leaves me wondering at the Department of Protective Services and its ambitions for this force it is training.
I could practically feel the tension between Kuna and Winzik. The other officials did the Krell equivalent of clearing their throats, making a crossing gesture before withdrawing. That left just me, Winzik, and Kuna. The two didn't speak. They only stared at each other. Finally, Winzik turned around without a word and responded to someone speaking nearby. The cheery Krell walked over and jumped right into that conversation, explaining enthusiastically about his plan to defend against the Delvers. How much does Kuna know? I wondered. Kuna was the one to invite Alenik here, a Cytonic. They must suspect what Winzik is doing, but how much can I trust either of them?
I don't know what any of this means, I said to Kuna, but I'm not interested in your political games.
Unfortunately, Alenik, the game takes no care for your interest. It plays you either way.
Did you know about the weapon? I asked. Did you know its real purpose? To send the Delvers out to attack other planets?
I suspected, Kuna said. Now I have confirmation. There are Things I must tell you, but we can't talk here. I will send for you back on Starsight. For once, kindly respond to me. There is little time remaining. They gave me one of their evil smiles, the ones that made me shiver all the way through. Hadn't it been Kuna who told me that the humans had fallen because they tried to weaponize the Delvers? What did they think about Winzik and the superiority trying basically the same thing? Kuna turned to leave, and I reached for them, intending to demand answers now. Unfortunately, I was interrupted by shouting from the side of the room. "I will not," Braid snapped, her voice carrying. "You shouldn't want a picture with a monster anyway." She threw her cup of something colorful at the wall, splashing liquid all over, then stalked out of the room. Scud. I darted after her, leaving the party behind. Belatedly, the drone that had led us there followed. I caught up to Braid at the first intersection, where she paused, obviously not knowing which way to go. Several guards nearby eyed us distrustfully. There seemed to be even more security in the hallways than usual, probably because of all the visiting dignitaries. "What's wrong?" I asked her. "I'm wrong," she snapped. "And they're all wrong. I'm not some freak to gawk at." I grimaced. Though I could understand the sentiment, she probably hadn't done much to improve the reputation of humans among that crowd. "If you'll come this way," the drone operator said, "I've been given permission to lead you to your transport room to wait for the rest of the pilots." It started off down the hallway and we followed, passing a few windows that looked out at the stars. At times, it was hard for me to remember we were on board a ship, silly as that sounded. The DDF didn't have anything larger than a small troop transport. Ships of this size, with entire ballrooms in them, were completely outside my experience. I hurried alongside Braid, searching for something to say. "I know of a place," I whispered to her, "where nobody would look at you like a freak. Where nobody would stare."
"Where?" she snapped. "Your home world? Alanik, I know about your people. Mine conquered them. I wouldn't just be a freak there, I'd be hated."
"No," I said, taking her by the arm, stopping her in the empty hallway. There seemed to be fewer patrols in this section of the ship than there normally were. Some of the guards had been moved up by the ballroom, and our guide drone was pretty far ahead. "Braid," I whispered, "I can tell you have reservations about this plan." She didn't respond, but she met my eyes. "There are things I can't tell you right now," I said. "But I promise you, I can take you somewhere you'll be appreciated. Not hated, not feared, celebrated. I'll explain soon. I just want you to listen when I do, all right?" Braid frowned in a very human way. She might have picked up some Krell and Dione mannerisms, but she'd been raised, at least as a child, by human parents. The guide drone called to us, and so I let go of Braid and we hurried to catch up. We passed the hallway leading to engineering, there was still a guard posted at the intersection, unfortunately, and continued to our jump room. I stewed for what felt like hours, but was probably about half of one, then smelled a distinctive cinnamon scent.
"Are you too well?" Vapor asked. "Flight Command said they'd called you back, but wouldn't tell me why. To them, I don't have any real authority."
"We're fine," I said, glancing toward Braid, who had taken her customary seat in the last row, where she sat staring at the wall. "Winzik just wanted to show off some of his pilots." The Kitson and Mormer entered a short time later.
"Alanik," Kauri said, flying the platform to me. "You reached the heart."
"What was it like?" Hesho asked from his throne. "Bright? Like 1,000 sunrises experienced all at once? Dark, like the gloom of a cavern that has never seen the sky?"
"Neither," I said. "It was an empty room, Hesho. They don't know what's at the center of a real maze, so they couldn't imitate it."
"How disappointing," he said. "That's not poetic at all."
"I heard," Mormer said, "that the High Minister of the Superiority was here today, in person. Did you see them?"
"I don't know," I said.
I wouldn't recognize them if I did. Aya, one of the Kitson gunners, launched into a story about how she'd caught a glimpse of the High Minister when touring Starsight. Hesho looked pointedly unimpressed. But, well, he had been a king, so maybe High Ministers were boring to him. I was content to let the others talk, settling down in my seat and tapping covertly on my bracelet. Status? Waiting and observing, the drone sent. There is movement of personnel. Based on dialogue, I believe we will soon hyperjump. Right. It was time then. I just had to hope that the drone would be able to record something. I sank down into myself, pretended I was flying. I immediately saw the path home, but turned away from that. Not now, not yet. I tried to reach toward this ship, the weights and measures. I tried to hear what was being said on board. It shouldn't work. There was no reason for them to use psionic communication to talk to other places on board the ship. And yet, voices from engineering popped into my head. It felt like someone was relaying them to me. Like someone was hearing them, then projecting them.
All pilots are on board and personnel secured, Winzik's voice said. Engineering, you may proceed with the hyperjump back to Starsight Regional Space.
Understood,
an engineer said back. I could even hear the Dione accent.
Preparing for hyperjump.
Near them was a mind. Not a person, though, something else. It was relaying these words. Maybe I could help make certain the drone had something to record. My presence here on the ship had interfered before with the hyperjumps. Could I make that happen on purpose? Force the crew to swap hyperdrives? I pressed softly against the mind I'd found. I heard a sharp cry.
Hyperdrive malfunction, engineering said. Bridge, we have another hyperdrive malfunction. It's those psionics on board. They're creating an unconscious interference with the hyperdrives.
Try a replacement, the bridge said.
Loading one now. Can we do something about this? It causes so much paperwork.
I snapped back to myself. Whatever they did worked, for we soon entered the nowhere again. Another scream, another lurch as I was cast into that place of darkness, punctured by the Delver eyes. As usual, they had turned from us and were looking toward the sound of the scream. Was this how the diversionary bomb worked? Superiority hyperdrives could distract the Delvers, divert their attention. Perhaps the Superiority had advanced this technology to create the device that Braid had activated. I studied the Delvers, who more and more were looking like tunnels of white light. A prickling sensation washed through me. I knew, without needing to look, that I'd been seen. One of the Delvers, perhaps the same one as last time, wasn't distracted by the scream. I turned and found it right beside me. I could feel its emotions, hateful, dismissive, angry. Sensations washed through me, and I gasped. To the Delver, life in my universe was nothing more than a bunch of angry gnats. Somehow it knew I was more. It loomed over me, surrounding me, overwhelming me. I was going to die. I was going to... I slammed back into my seat on the weights and measures. Aya was still telling her story to a rapt audience. I curled up on my seat, sweating, rattled. I'd never felt so small, so alone. I trembled, trying to banish the unexpected emotion. I couldn't tell if it belonged to me or was a side effect of having seen that Delver. But loneliness swallowed me. It was even worse than when I'd been on Detritus training, living in my little cave, sleeping in a cockpit while the rest of my flight ate and laughed together. Then, at least, I'd had an enemy to fight. Then I'd had the support and friendship of the others, even if I was forced to scavenge for food. Here, I sat in an enemy battleship, surrounded by people I'd been lying to. I thought of Hesho and Morimer as my friends, but they would kill me in a heartbeat if they knew what I was. Status update, the drone suddenly sent, the words tapping out on my wrist. It is probable I have been detected. A set of warning alarms suddenly rang through the ship. Aya, the kitsen, cut off, and the rest of my flight stood up, shocked by the sudden sound. What? I typed to the drone. Explain! Before I could exit the engine room, I tripped some sort of alarm, the drone sent. Multiple engineers search. I have not escaped into the hallway. I will soon be discovered. Scud. Though we'd tried to remove any identifying features on the drone parts, MBOT had little doubt that the device, if detected, could be traced back to Alanik. Scud, 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 scud. Orders, the drone sent to me. A plan popped into my mind. A terrible plan, but it was the only thing I could come up with while under so much pressure. Able to reach destructor pistol strapped to you? Yes, service arms can reach weapon. Turn off safety, I sent. Remove tape. Hold pistol in front of you. Start pulling trigger.